Hey guys, Fizz here. Just letting you know, we recorded this one before the Ollie Wines and Connor Blakely injuries. Actually, happened just after that, all that information came out. So things will be a little bit off, but I'm sure you'll be able to figure out who to bump up in each situation. And our ranks on the website, which will be up very shortly, will certainly reflect that. Let's get cracking.
Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. It's Jono here, and we are talking all things Supercoach midfielders with the top 40 that Steve and I will be running through, with Doss, Cam, and the Statesman running through the Dream Team and AFL Fantasy formats. But next week, Steve. It's our 200th show, so pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm pumped, Jono. It's been a long ride, and you know, we've got something in store for the listeners. I think they're going to enjoy a big mock draft special with some of our longtime friends and a couple of new ones.
Yeah, absolutely. It's we've been doing a slow draft over the last couple of days and weeks, and some of the picks have been pretty interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, it's... you know, there's always a bit of bants in the chat thread about how the draft's going. So there's been a few surprises, and I think it's been interesting watching a couple of different strategies play out. Like, I've certainly employed a different strategy myself that I thought I'd try push people to a certain direction and shape the draft a little bit. And I think some people went for it, some people didn't, and I look forward to talking about it next week, Jono.
Yeah, can't wait to dissect all things of the mock draft. And also, we've been pushing to get the 100 ratings there on the iTunes. We are at 93 as we speak, so if you've got a couple of minutes spare, hit the 5-star buttons, and also leave us a review. We love reading them out on the show, and please, get us to that 100. But we are talking all things Supercoach midfielders. We're going to go through 1 through 40, basing off my rankings. And Steve is basically just going to tear shreds off them, and as he normally does of everything I do. So let's kick it off. And I'm going with Paddy Cripps as my number one midfielder for 2019, followed by Nat Fyfe, Jack McRae, Josh Kelly, and Lachie Neale as the first five there.
Wow, that's... hot fire there, Jono. So McRae
at number 3.
And who was 4?
Josh Kelly.
Oh, Josh Kelly. So we've actually, yeah, that's pretty interesting. We've got the same top 4, but just in a different order. And I think the shocking thing is neither of us have got McRae as number 1. I've got him at number 2, but I've got Nat Fyfe at number 1.
Yeah, I dropped McRae down slightly. I just think he's still going to average well, but I think that 123, 127 was just an outlier for him. So come back a little bit, and I see him dipping under the 120 for next year, especially with the inclusions of Tom Liberatore coming back in that midfield. It might take a slight bump. So it's...
And maybe the improvement of the, you know, McLean and Dunkley, just continued improvement you'd expect, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely, but still happy to have him as an M1 in my team.
Yeah, no doubt. And I've just got Lachie Neale in at 6. I've got Clayton Oliver in front of him at 5.
Okay. So the next 5 I've got is Coniglio, Matty Crouch at 7, Clay Oliver at 8.
Just slow down a second there, buddy. It's not a race. It's not a race. People need to know the numbers.
All right. 6, Steve Coniglio. 7 is Matty Crouch. 8 is Clayton Oliver. 9, Zach Merritt. And 10, Andrew Gaff comes in. Round out their number 10 spot.
Gaff, well, this is where we'll start, Jono, because I've got him at 21.
Wow. And why have you got him so low?
Well, I mean, you know, look, and actually the interesting thing is if the midfield rotations say that the players might get a little bit less time on ground, and Gaff, we know he's the elite runner and all that, it's just, it was such an outlier, you know, year. And, like, I look at all these guys coming through, like Redden and Shuey was a bit down. You got the Shuey, Redden, there's like all the other young guys coming through. I find it hard to believe that he's going to repeat. And like to say that the 10 spots apart probably seems like a massive difference, but if you drop sort of 5 points, 6 points, there you go. Like, I
so you think he goes back to a 102?
And the fact that, like, you're drafting your M1 and you don't even get him until round 3?
That's a bit of value there if you do get him in the third round.
No, no, I'm saying in real life football.
Oh, real life football.
He's missing two games. Like, I don't, come on.
I forgot all about that.
I just, I don't know. It's, I can understand why people would do it. It's, I don't really have a problem with it per se, but it, you know, I could put him at 50 and I'd probably still miss out. Like, you know, it sort of at 21, you're missing out on Andrew Gaff.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So who'd you have different there?
Oh, well, I had Clayton Oliver in my top tier at number 5, obviously, but I'd Merritt, at 7, so just 2 spots higher. Coniglio, I got at 8, so 2 spots lower. Matt Crouch, 2 spots lower as well, at 9, but obviously very happy to have any of those guys as my M1.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Moving on to the next 5, kicking off at number 11, I've got Adam Treloar. Number 12, Dusty Martin. 13 is Dane Beams. 14 is the Yo Man, and number 15 is the Sloan Dog.
Yeah, I'm pretty keen on Sloan as well, actually, mate. I've got him in at 12.
Okay, not too much difference. But yeah.
We're probably not miles apart on these guys. I got Dusty at 10, so a couple high. I got Yo at 11, a couple higher. I really like, you know, he's just such a good player, Yo, isn't he?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
A couple spots lower on Treloar, but again, Beams, I'm in at 22.
Beams at 22.
I'm happy to miss on Beams this year. I've got all those Collingwood midfielders. Aside from Treloar, I'm pretty comfortable with Treloar. I'm not sure that 14 gets him a whole lot of times. But actually, you know, not to give too much away about next week, but Treloar was a guy who really fell down the draft board, I thought.
Yeah, well, I think that round he did go. Spoilers, I was actually looking at him, but that's when you... obviously sharked him off me, as you normally do.
Okay, I was one pick in front of you. Yeah.
So, but how do you not take him where you did take him? You have to.
Yeah, but my point, I guess, is that those other Collingwood midfielders, like, and Beams especially, because he's such, like, I mean, he's a gun player, obviously, but he's just an injury risk waiting to happen. Like,
see, I've got Beams and Treloar close because I think they're going to be the two constants in that midfield. Whereas someone like a Pendlebrand Sidebottom can play various roles and will affect their averages.
Yeah, see, I've got, you know, Pendles, Beams, Sidey and Adams all in that same, all in the 20s essentially, like in the same tier. I don't really want to reach on any of them. I just want one of them to fall to me, and it's probably going to be Pendles, to be honest.
Most definitely.
So I'm pretty comfortable taking him. Like, he finds a way. And Sidebottom should be out there all day on the park, you know, the elite runner he is, like... he'll find a way. I agree that Beams will score probably well, but, you know, stepping into such a stack midfield and the injury history.
I suppose Collingwood's generally got a pretty good medical team. It's just the unfortunate. The injuries that they suffer on the park is unfortunate, that's all. But,
yeah.
Beams, he played just about all games last year, so, you know, he's over 30. Maybe he's finally grown into his body. Who knows?
Yeah, and you know, he's probably coming in at unders when you look at what happened at the start of the year, the whole family situation, and he really came on strong, you know, through the middle and end of the year. So, look, it could be a great pick, and I'm certainly not poo-pooing his potential.
And Sloan, I think, as we've spoken about with the Adelaide Crows last year, we just put a line through him last year. We know Sloan had the injuries as well, but... I expect the majority of the Crows players to bounce back.
Oh, I'm just so super keen on Sloan. I think he'd be... and I haven't seen anyone talk about him for salary cap. I think he's a great salary cap pick as well. Like, I'm...
already just, got him in my super coach team.
He's just such a gun.
Yeah.
Very comfortable.
And vice-captain there with Big Texan.
Wow.
That means nothing. What does that mean? Extra couple extra points? Yeah. Swag? Who knows?
Captain Swag.
Captain Swag.
I don't know.
Moving on to the next 5, at number 16, I've got Gus Brayshaw. 17 is the Bont. 18 is Mitch Duncan. 19 is Seb Ross. And rounding at the 20 is Joel Selwood.
Joel Selwood's much, much lower on Selwood here. I'm not. I'm higher. Yeah, a lot of these guys are pretty similar, really. I'm a little bit higher on Brayshaw. Little bit higher on the Bont, a little bit higher on Selwood. exactly the same on Duncan. Seb Ross, about the same. Seb Ross, he's hard, man. Like,
I found him hard. Like, with the 40, he could go down, he could be up, but I think that was a nice, safe pick. And I think people will overlook him because, A, he's playing for St Kilda, and B, that, you know, you've got, he's going to say, more bigger names, as in Gus Brayshaw was a hot topic last year. Bontempelli is a great Supercoach scorer, so he might get overlooked that way.
Yeah, I think, yeah, he seems like the sort of guy who you might get as your M3, but you're going to, I'd be very, very comfortable with him as an M2. But he's the sort of guy who could end up as a top five scorer at the end of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. We saw him come home massively in the second half last year with some really big scores, and then, what's his name, Richardson, puts him deep forward, so, or deep back, so once he's sacked, Seb Ross will be in the midfield permanently. And I'm going to be pushing for Sack Richo.
Oh, Richo out. The t-shirts are coming.
Oh, yeah. Moving on to the next five, kicking off at 21, I've got Sidebum, 22, Cal Ward, 23, Dyson Heppel, 24 is Luke Parker, and 25, Gaz Ablett.
Okay. So where do we want to start here? Cal Ward's pretty interesting. I'm a little bit higher on him. He seems like one of your boys, though. He seems like someone you'd really enjoy.
I do enjoy Cal Ward. I have owned him a number of times throughout the years, and I think now with Shield going, it's going to help him. I mean, he could be a better scorer than previously, but I think it's just a nice, safe pick.
Like, you'd rather him as your M3 than your M2?
Definitely.
Yeah, see, I've got him in that M2 range, but he's probably someone you don't feel like you particularly want as your M2. So it's going to be a hard guy to captain.
Yeah, you'd have to pick and shoot. He's very matchup dependent. So, yeah, just very aware. I love owning him. Great player. Big fan of him. But, yeah, don't want him any higher than M3.
A little bit higher on Parker. I'm at 19 on him. I'm still pretty comfortable with him. Interesting with Sydney using that tag last year. He probably didn't play as much. Like, I mean, he obviously played a lot of midfield, but Sydney was so piss poor transferring the ball forward, it sort of affected their ability to score as forwards, I thought.
Yeah, I don't think Parker's playing forward this year. I mean, you've got Sam Reid coming back. Blakely looks like a real goer. He's going to be in that midfield permanently. And look, I could have ranked him higher. I just think I would take him as an M2, but happy with that M3 range as well.
Mm. Yeah, I'm pretty similar on Heplin's side, but I'm just a hair lower. So,
yeah. Yeah, I think Shiel really helps him coming into that team this year.
Sorry, who was 25?
Ablett.
Ablett, yeah, I'm at 29. He's probably someone, yeah.
I mean,
I'll take when the price is right, but he's not going to be my M. I've got him, it's funny, because I've got him ranked as an M3, but
I'm
damn well taking him as a... yeah, but that's the thing. If someone... like, obviously, we sort of devalue forwards quite a lot. So just because someone's ranked 29 doesn't mean we end up taking them as an M3. Like, I'll take three guys in the midfield before him, whilst other people are picking up, you know, Jack Gunston.
Yeah. Hey, love Jack Gunston, especially where I got him in our mock draft this year.
Love Jack Gunston, but he can't... surely he's not going to score that good with Tom Mitchell out of the team.
So wait and see. I suppose if the tag goes to Isaac Smith, who's that other launcher inside 50, then it's really going to hamper their ball movement through the middle part of the ground.
Well, Titch was their one of their best ball users, and he was their most... I think he had the most... like, I mean, it's hard not to have the most inside 50s when you have like 57 touches a game.
Oh, I understand that. Well, him and Smith were the number one and two, I'd imagine, and then you get Ryan Burton, who was playing on the wing as well, out of that team. So I do see your point, but still love Jack Gunston.
He'll the Hawks will find a way, but he's not a target this year per se.
Well, I've spoken to a couple of Hawks fans already after the Tom Mitchell incident, and they're like, nah, season's over, get stuff, don't care. Like, it's one bloke.
They'll finish like sixth with like random blokes you've never heard of.
Find someone in the VFL, yeah, we'll stick him in the midfield and he's Tom Mitchell number two.
Yeah, James Cousins on your way.
moving on to the next five, I've got Dane Zorko in at 26. Jago O'Meara coming in at 27. 28 JPK, 29 Scotty Pendlebury, and I don't love it, but I've got Lachie Hunter in at 30.
He's such a dirty pick, Lachie Hunter, isn't he?
He is. He is.
I just remember that down year after the gun year.
Well, because he got moved forward, back. He just got, he got bevoed.
That's he got bevoed, that's for sure. Yeah, I'm probably just a fraction higher on Pendles and JPK than you are. Although, you know, if the game's based around speed, maybe those boys aren't great picks. But it's pretty funny. I thought I'd be one of the highest people on Jager, but I'm down compared to you, man. I got him at 35.
They're not going to tag him. Like I said, they're going to go to Isaac Smith for that tag when it does come, because he is the main guy who launches the ball inside 50 with Tom Mitchell. So,
do you think it could be Wingard who gets tagged?
Who? Sorry?
Wingard, like if he's going to play midfield.
Has he ever been tagged in his career, though?
No.
Yeah, so I don't, maybe like a Ross Lyon, because he's just batshit crazy and will do anything. So it's a possibility Wingard could get the tag as well.
I don't know, man. I thought I was really hot on O'Meara, even with, like, probably more so with Titch. But I thought 35 would be a really fair ranking.
Well, not too far apart.
You know what I mean? Like, he's someone I'd really like to snag in drafts. Like, I'm pretty keen to have him in my team this year. So I know it's always a bad plan to go in with the "I want this guy" strategy, but he's someone I'd really want to have in my team. I think he's going to have a good year.
Well, look at that. A couple of years ago, I really wanted Handsome Tom in my team, and worked out very well for me. So,
yeah,
you don't get him. So, is there any other difference there? Your thoughts on Zorko? Where'd you have Zorko?
Oh, at 28.
Okay.
I'm okay with him. Maybe don't love it, but I think he's fine.
Yep. No, I'm the same. Moving on to into the 30s now. At 31, I've got Dylan Scheel. 32 is the other Crouch brother. 33, Mark Murphy. 34 is Bryce Gibbs. And 35 is Jack Steele.
Okay, so we're going to have some guys different here. Thank goodness. Wait, who was 34?
Bryce Gibbs.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's the same actually as me. So these are all really fair rankings, all pretty similar. Do you think like Jack Steele, after their bye, averaged like 109 Supercoach. Do you think he can take that next step?
No. The only thing that's really stopping Jack Steele is the goal kicking, I think. I think he's just that great in and under.
Yeah.
But if he wants, like, you look at the top midfielders we've seen, they have the goal kicking ability.
I don't know. JPK can't kick a goal.
But when, he's been a great dream team, but I wouldn't say he's been a great super coach.
JPK? He's over 120.
Did he?
Yeah.
It must have been years ago. He's an old man now, so.
Is Clayton Oliver a good goal kicker? Can you handball a goal, Joe?
I have seen him kick at 25 metres. It wasn't the prettiest kick, but he has done it.
Yeah. I think he's pretty good, man.
Yeah. I don't know if Jack Steele can go more than 109, I think.
No, I mean, that's what he averaged over there.
Oh, that's what he averaged.
I mean, you know, Mike, does he average 105?
I'd love it. If you can get him in that 35 range as the M4 and he can go 105, then that's a bargain. Absolute bargain. Because what he averaged, 96 overall this year or something like that. So,
and I think 10-point, like, I mean, you look at the way he's built his score. Like, he had that third-year breakout. He, you know, continued that on again this year, and he really finished off the year strong. Like, we often see the fifth year is when they go from, you know, good to very good.
To a premium, yeah.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah. Oh, look, I can see it. He's got the game to do it, and I suppose the Supercoach scoring.
Don't like the haircut. Like, he needs to get the thing back, the longer situation. Nah.
I haven't seen him.
Yeah.
Gone pretty boy, has he? Or?
Well, I reckon you just walk past him on the street and be like, yeah, whatever. You're just a random guy now.
And then he just lays a tackle on you and kills you, so.
Yeah. You just spleen out on the sidewalk there.
The Mark Murphy one, I could have gone lower on him, but I think even outside the top 40, but I think he has to be inside the top 40.
Yeah, I'm pretty keen on Mark Murphy, probably more so for Dream Team, but I'm pretty fine with him.
Yeah, and what do you see Scheel doing this year? I've got him 31. Where did you have him?
I'll go to 36, and so I'm pretty comfortable taking him as my M4. I got him and Jager and Steele and Shuey and these guys sort of together. You know, Wines, Crouch, they could boom. They probably won't break your heart. So I think, you know, he's fine. You should be. I mean, they got to kick David Mize out of that team, don't they?
Oh, for sure. For sure.
You'd hope so.
Because people were talking him up and I'm like, no, he's a spud.
So, I mean, good on him, like, whatever. Yeah. But it's, you know, there's certainly less competition, you know, that elite midfield. I mean, I'm not trying to take any away from Essendon's midfield, but I mean, look at the guys at GWS. You've got Cal Ward and Josh Kelly and Caniglio. They're superstars. I mean, you know, Heppel's good, but, you know, and Zach Merritt's good. But, I mean, Shield should be raking that ball out of there every time.
Oh, absolutely. It'd be the old 1-2. Zerat extracts straight to Shield, inside 50. Finally, maybe see him get over 100 in Supercoach.
I think it's possible, man. That's why I sort of like him. And we know he's always sort of had that limited game time at GWS.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking at that. He averaged 85, I think it was, this year. But I see 101 minimum. Minimum?
Ooh, yep. Yeah. I reckon his range is... He's got a pretty reasonable size range, I've got to be honest. But I think he's probably going to crack 90.
Oh, to easily crack 90. That's what I said. I think he could top out at 105 this year.
Maybe.
Just the way that Essendon use the ball and play their game. It's like fast pace. A lot of 1-2 handballs. If he's on the end of them, it's part of the scoring chain. That's points in Supercoach.
Yeah. I get that. That's fine.
Yeah. And rounding out the top 40, in at number 36, I've got Taylor Adams, Tommy Rockliffe at 37, Jack Redden 38, Oliver Wines at 39, and your boy Timmy Tarantino at number 40.
Yeah, I got Tarantino at 30.
30? I know you're super hot on him.
Yeah, I'm pretty hot on him, and you know that. I think it's justified. Like, he scored so well when he played pure mid. I wouldn't say he was a target, but I'd be looking to get him into my team. I think, you know, I'm happy to take him over the guys like Ollie Wines and Gibbs and O'Meara. I'm pretty comfortable, man.
So you see...
He's never going to get a tag there. Never.
Oh, no, I understand that, but you've got him at 30, I've got him at 40. Realistically, what round do you think you're picking up Tarantino?
Well, probably... Back of six, start of seven. I think seven's pretty fair rank.
Yeah, fair enough. Do you think you can drop him a few other rounds just to...
Oh, look, probably depends how the draft's shaking out. But, you know, as you know, John, it only takes one person to draft him and you miss out. So...
I've always said if you're hot on someone, take him irrespective.
Well, I mean, you know, we'll have our mock draft simulator coming out soon, and that'll give us a pretty good idea of where he's going in drafts. And you couple that with your own ranking, you use two great pieces two great resources, and you'll find, oh well, this is where he's going usually, and this is where I've got him. So I'll find the happy medium, and try snagging that way. That's how you use those resources, and you got to put him in a tier where if someone does reach even more than you. Your silver medal is someone you're happy with. And for me, that's Taylor Adams or Zorko or something like that.
Yeah, I just can't get around Taylor Adams. I've got him there, but he's just someone I'm like, just can't get around him this year for some reason.
That's fine.
But only once. Do you think he gets more game time on ground this year?
Look, I've got him at 32. I don't think he's going to kill you. I think he should be better. You sort of always... addition through subtraction for his score, you know, subtract someone out of that midfield should be good for him. He's been pretty consistent. He's always very durable as well. And I get the feeling he was playing a little bit hampered last year.
Those quads?
They're hard to miss. So he's interesting. Shuey in at 38. You didn't have him, did you?
Just outside the top 40.
Yeah, I'm pretty keen to grab a piece of him and, Baby Legs Jack Stephen in at 39.
Yeah, I think I had him at 41, 42. So
yeah.
Very yeah, 41. There you go. So and I had Redden at 43.
Yeah, okay. So I had Redden at 40.
Okay, so yeah, not too far apart on that. So who are some of the others that we just spoke about there that missed out on the your top 40 there?
Oh, there was a few that. Yeah, so in the same tier as Redden, I got like Ed Curnow. Whether that's a good pick this year, I don't know, but it's not like Carlton's midfield got exceptionally better. Viney, Liam Shields, Dion Prestia, Trent Cotchin.
Hello, baby Fears.
She wants to be a guest. I mean, there's a couple of names that's sort of the hotness, aren't there? Like, I got Hugh McCluggage at 50. I'm pretty, you know, pretty interested in him. Andrew Brayshaw, but again, he's at 60. It's not like I'm reaching super high for someone I like to break out.
No.
You know, Higgins is probably my big slider. I got him at 48.
Okay, I've got him 42, so not too far apart, but still in that same bracket. I suppose it's more of a salary cap of thing, but Tom Liberatore, he's going to be an interesting one come draft time. I've got him ranked almost in the 60s.
Yeah, I'm through my top 59 and I haven't got to Libby yet.
Yeah, so 40, 50. I've got him 54. So.
Yeah, I don't want a guy who's, like, you know, we got to remember Tom Liberatore isn't the same player he was back then. And look at the midfielder he's got to try and break into now.
That's right. That's
exactly. Are you serious?
Right. Yeah. I mean, everyone's going crazy for him in the salary caps, but if he's available as an M6, sure, I'll take a punt on him, but that's all I'm going to be doing is take a punt and see what happens.
Yeah, I find it really hard to get behind him, unfortunately, John. I know, you know, he looked like he was going to be anything with those two just amazing years, but it really hasn't been the same since then. Like, he had the 90 off the ACL, but the team is just so different.
That's right. Used to do whatever the hell he wanted before Bevo got in, but now Bevo is making their players as basically dual positions, so. And Tom Liberatore is not a dual position player. He's a pure mid, simple as that. So,
yeah.
And Jared Lyons, I've got an interesting one. I think he can score, but it's going to be...
This is my thing with Lyons, right? I got him at 49.
Okay, so we're one off. I've got him at 50.
I'm not super keen on him. If the game's going to be fast, it's not going to be Jared Lyons' game.
It's not his wheelbag, is it?
It really isn't his wheelbag at all. But this is my thing, like, think about it like this. When he played at Gold Coast last year, around the times he was getting dropped by Gold Coast, he was playing just pure mid. He was, like, one of the highest, you know, CBA players for them. And he didn't exactly set the world on fire. I would imagine you'd have to at least say that Brisbane's midfield is a bit better and therefore more competition for touches from your own team.
Oh, I agree, especially with what they've got there. You got Lachie Neal, Zorko, McCluggage, Rayner, and the rest coming
Berry.
Through. So Berry, yeah.
Robbo. Exactly right. Lachie Neal's one of the best contested players in the game.
Yeah, I agree.
So you've gone from, you know, David Swallow and Will Brody to, you know what I mean? Like, it's
to some of the best in the comp.
Like, I'm not sure the upside's there. I could be wrong. Could completely miss, but... he's just someone I'm not super keen on. That whole range, like the Aaron Halls and all that. Like, I'd rather take the McCluggage, who the guy I see as being on his way up.
Exactly right.
Than the guys who I sort of see being on their way down, like Ebert. Well, I mean, Ebert's fine, but...
Wow, if we're believing all the articles, him and Cunnington are playing deep forward, so they're going to be the Coleman medalists this year. So don't believe everything you read, listeners, because it's all crap.
Well, I would have thought Ebert was the logical replacement to go back... inside, like he did the year before.
Mm.
So, I don't know. That was a bizarre one, man. What about your boy, James Harms?
James Harms, I've got him at, 44.
Okay.
It's more of a JLT watch, see where he's actually going to be playing and what his role is, because that could slide down, go up, could be anything. But that's just a conservative rank at the moment.
What do you think the first round of Supercoach drafts looks like?
In the top 10, just whoever it is.
Yeah, top 10, top 12, whatever you feel.
I if it's captains on, there's going to be maybe five midfielders and at least a couple of defenders.
Yeah, so who do you think goes one in most drafts?
Danger's number one.
You think?
Yeah.
Over Grundy?
Yep.
What about Gorn? Do you think he's getting a draft in the first round? I reckon he will in some drafts.
I think in some drafts it's a distinct possibility that he does. I mean, there's a case for it. I mean,
yeah.
Grundy, Gorn, you throw in Lloyd, Laird, Danger, Devin Smith. There's already half a dozen names I've already just mentioned right there. So it's going to be very interesting. And then you throw in Cripps, Fife, McRae, Kelly. And that could maybe change around with people going a Cogs or a Neil, maybe.
Yeah, I reckon. Yeah, Neil's interesting, probably, in Supercoach drafts. Because his average dropped away in Dream Team like 10 points, but it held in Supercoach.
Yeah, well, he went up in Supercoach. His last couple of weeks in Supercoach were unreal at the back end of last year. So, yeah, this is the great thing this year. We've got an open draft where it's not going to be just tick the box and draft player X. You've got choice. July.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. You'll be getting like Zach Merritt, Matt Crouch, Coniglio, and that in round two pretty comfortably, I think.
I think you are, and that's where I'm pretty excited to be drafting on the turn this year.
At the back. Yeah, I really want that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because our draft is decided by the Royal Rumble. We pick wrestlers, and actually it will have happened by the time this podcast is out, so we'll know where our slots are. But I was like, I you know, don't follow the wrestling super heaps anymore, but I sort of know the big names, and I'm like, oh, yeah, my guy is... He must be a jobber. I've never even heard of him. I was looking up the odds today. He's like the third favorite to last the longest.
Oh, really?
I just went, what? So I'm like, I'm picking at number like three or four, I'm going to be livid.
So for those watching, Steve actually had a bloke called Mustafa Ali. Now, I'm a wrestling fan. Even I don't know who this bloke is.
Right.
it's going to be interesting. But my brother Ross, he's got some bloke called Andrade. Yeah, who the hell was that? So
he was up there in the same thing as Ali to last a while, I think. Like, man, Mustafa, you come out at number one. Get your ass out of there. Good time.
Like the Kofi Kingston of come in, do something fancy, last 5 minutes, and get the hell out.
That's it. I don't want to see you hanging around for 15 minutes, mate. I want you flying in and flying out.
So, yeah, being number one, especially if you're in a bonsai draft where you're waiting a long time between picks, that could be the end of your draft right there, because you're going to be missing out.
Well, I just see it as being that same thing. Is, I want two of my top 15 mids, and I want one of the top five defenders. And if I'm at the back of the range, we play bonsai, so you get those three. You get your third round pick is the same as the second. So if you're drafting, eight, you're getting pick 23?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's pretty good times, 8, 13, and 23, whatever it is. You'll certainly square away a couple of those gun positions.
Yeah. That's anything from, I want 6 to 10 is where I'm looking at to draft this year.
Yeah. I mean, no doubt we'll be next to each other.
Again.
As always.
I don't know. I mean, I've got... Who do I have? I had Dean Ambrose. He could be anything.
But anyway, it'd be pretty. I'm excited to talk mock draft next week on the big 200th show.
Oh, absolutely! Looking forward to the 200th show. Who would have thought a few years ago that we would have got to 200 shows? But before we wrap up, on Australia Day, I was out drinking with my brothers, and we're on the train home, and we're discussing what are the best trilogies out there. So you can talk Rockies and just put it down to 1 to 3, and that's it. But what are some of the best trilogies out there? And we came up with Indiana Jones being the best trilogy.
Of course. Yeah, I'm 100% with you.
But my brother, God love him, he's created our mock site. He actually threw The Hunger Games in there.
What?
Yeah, and being drinking for most of the day, there was another young couple. They were throwing their support in. This couple just shot my brother down, saying, you can't have that shit in there. So it was Terminator. I think it was Terminator.
Yeah, but the problem with Terminator, they got the Salvation one, which was just...
No, it's only 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, 1, 2, and 3 is okay.
Yeah, we're not talking about that crap and Genesis and... So just 1, 2, and 3. I mean, 3 was pretty ordinary, but 1 and 2 carry it. I was trying to push for Predators to be included in the trilogy, but or The Predator, but didn't quite carry to get it as a trilogy.
Yeah, Predators was all right.
Yeah, I don't know if Predators was part of the timeline or...
It can't really be. It's just completely isolated.
Yeah, but That Predator was part of the sequel, so...
Yeah, was it? There's a bit of a reach there. What about Die Hard?
Well, Die Hard was in there. We had Die Hard trilogy.
The third one's amazing.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you reckon the third one's better than the first one?
Oh.
I reckon it's better. That's just me, though.
On par.
Samuel Jackson, come on.
Alien trilogy, that was up there.
Nah.
Not a fan of the Alien movies.
Nah.
Yeah, love them. Love them. So there was some hot debate on there. Like Back to the Future.
Oh, Major League. Major League would count because there was a third one.
Oh, have you seen that film? I think they just...
Yeah, repeatedly.
The third Major League I'm talking about. Have you seen that film?
What about Kickboxer?
Didn't they make like 6 of them?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, they've actually got a second... How would you put it? It's a remake of the first movies and they're making it a trilogy.
Yeah, I saw that. And
so the first one had... Batista.
Oh,
Tom
Back
Poe.
To the Future, man.
Yeah, I said Back to the Future. We had
that. Oh, did you? Yeah, that'd... Oh, I don't know. It'd be pretty hard to beat Back to the Future, surely.
I think we agreed that, Indiana Jones was number one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty interesting one. Jersey Trilogy. Oh, yeah, that's an interesting one.
Which one?
Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy.
See, that's the thing. I didn't realize that was actually a trilogy. It's debatable, so yeah, happy to have it in there.
It was like 25 years the other day since Clerks came out.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Very old.
Oh, Mighty Ducks.
Mighty Ducks. Do you know I actually watched that for the first time like a year and a half ago?
Oh, really?
Never seen them before.
Oh, dude, see, here's the winner. I've Googled best trilogies. I've found the winner, and... It's really not even up for debate. Naked Gun.
Yes. Yes, we'd said Naked Gun, but it sort of just brushed over and kept moving on. But yeah, the Naked Gun's certainly got to be up there.
Yeah, Naked Gun. I've got to say, the Indiana Jones one's pretty hard to top.
Yeah. I suppose if you can make it subcategory, it'd be action-adventure, Indiana Jones, comedy.
Yeah.
Naked Guns.
Naked Gun's the best, man. God, I love it.
Actually, I might go watch it. We've got the public holiday tomorrow. The public holiday tomorrow, so Monday.
Your timeline's all screwed up because you're doing things that are in the future.
Yep. I'm a time traveler. All right, we are going to wrap it up for this week. Thanks for listening. If you want to check us out, you can do that by hitting us up on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors. Search the Facebook as well. 93 ratings. Please get us to 100. We'd love to have 100 up for the 200th show next week, where we've done a mock draft with some of the listeners and some of the podcasters as well, just to get an idea of where people are going, and we're going to dissect that for the 200th show. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.